Welcome to the LDS Addiction Recovery Program Spouse and Family Support Podcast. In today's meeting, we will discuss Principle 4, Draw Near Unto Me. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles has said the following about the healing power of Christ's atonement.
He knows of our anguish, and He is there for us. Like the Good Samaritan in his parable, when He finds us wounded at the wayside, He binds up our wounds and cares for us. Brothers and sisters, the healing power of His atonement is for you, for us, for all.
In this series, you will hear actual participants discussing gospel principles of recovery and healing. Spouse and family support meetings have strict guidelines of confidentiality and anonymity. All of the individuals in these podcasts are regular attendees in the Addiction Recovery Program and have willingly volunteered to participate. Their experiences are genuine and not fabricated. The personal stories expressed in this series reflect the true opinions and experiences of the guests and may not represent the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Spouse and Family Support Group. I'm Sister Marsh, and this is my companion, Sister Oswald, and we'll be conducting today's group. Do we have anyone here for the first time? No, doesn't look like. Okay. Let's just go around the room, and would you introduce yourselves by your first name?
I'm Bill.
Hello, I'm Eric.
Eric. Hi, I'm Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, I'm Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Welcome, all of you. We're so glad you're here. Just a reminder to silence your cell phones. And let's see, do we have anyone that would be willing to offer an opening prayer? Thanks, Eric.
Our dear Father in Heaven, we're thankful to be gathered this evening for this support group meeting. We ask the High Spirit to please attend with us, that we may feel the comforting of the Holy Ghost, that we may share and be inspired. We're thankful for this program and for the atonement, for the peace that it brings into our lives and in the lives of those with whom we love. And these things we say in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Family support meetings assist those with loved ones ensnared in pornography and addiction. We are a group of brothers and sisters who share our experiences, faith, and hope as we study and apply the principles of the gospel as they correlate with the spouse and family support guide. Our meetings provide a safe place for honest sharing because we adhere to the principles of confidentiality and anonymity, and we use appropriate language and behavior to invite the Spirit to be with us. As we apply these gospel principles in our own lives, we receive power through the atonement of Jesus Christ to find hope and healing and to receive the full blessings of the gospel. Each week, as you know, we focus on a different principle, and we will go around the room now, and each person who is willing, if you would read one paragraph, and it's perfectly fine to pass if you just prefer to listen this evening. During the reading, listen for thoughts and feelings that resonate with you. In addition, we'll pause at the end of each section to discuss what we have read. Please remember to raise your hand to allow only one person to speak at a time. Mary, would you like to begin our discussion, or our reading?
Yes. Principle 4, draw near unto me. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Relying upon God's guidance and direction. Many times we are confronted with problems that seem beyond our own capability and understanding to overcome. Our need for help can lead us to ask our loving Heavenly Father for guidance and direction. We have been counseled, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Lord desires to answer our prayers and will speak to us through the Holy Ghost. Elder Richard G. Scott taught, impressions of the Spirit can come in response to urgent prayers or unsolicited when needed. Sometimes the Lord reveals truth to you when you are not actively seeking it, such as when you are in danger and do not know it.
Thank you. Rick, would you continue?
Receiving revelation may require effort on our part. President Harold B. Lee said,
We develop our spiritual selves by practice. We must train our spiritual selves with the same care as we train our physical bodies. He counseled, take time to be holy each day of your lives. It is important to set aside time to meditate, ponder, and turn our hearts toward heaven. This will help us receive, recognize, and understand the promptings of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Christy?
The situation with our loved one can require our urgent attention and can cause us to desperately seek answers or direction. Our sense of urgency might cause us to expect immediate spiritual help. While the Lord's responses come quickly at times, the scriptures teach us that revelation is given line upon line as it is needed. We can patiently wait upon the Lord and trust that He will speak to us. This is one way that our patience and character are refined. Just as the people of Nephi understood not the voice which they heard until the third time, it might take time for us to recognize personal revelation.
Thank you. How have you felt the Lord guide and direct you in your relationship with your loved one? Eric.
Oftentimes I felt guided when, well, I carry around a journal with me and write down my thoughts, and putting on my thoughts on paper for me allows me to go over them and express myself, and that's a time when I feel impressions from the Lord guiding me. It's been very helpful. That's just one of the many ways.
Anyone else?
Let's start with Christine and go to Bill. Before we started attending addiction recovery meetings, I really sensed something was wrong in my home. You know, I sensed that there were some struggles and that my sons were struggling. And then as I would try to talk with them about different issues, I felt I had a really hard time being emotionally honest. And I found that I would feel, you know, in my soul, you know, that I needed to have a conversation. I needed to talk about something, but I lacked the courage to do it. And I really felt like when I would pray about it and ask the Lord or the Spirit to help me to convey the feelings in my heart to my loved one, that it always went so much better than if I was reacting to something or and if I didn't talk about what I felt I should talk about, it caused me to feel bad about myself. So I found that prayer was huge, and then the guidance of the Spirit was really essential to make sure that I could communicate appropriately.
Thank you. Okay, Bill.
When my first child fell off the cliff, so to speak, I got the distinct impression from my Heavenly Father that if I would first get myself into the right spot, then somehow He would come back. Not that it was a condition that had to happen so that He could come back, but I just felt that I felt that direction, that if I can just get myself in a good place spiritually and I can overcome some of the issues that have just lingered in my life, that I could, that it would open the way somehow. And that, I didn't get that all the time. And I didn't, you know, I had to relearn that again and again, because I kept going back into His business and getting involved. But it proved to be really prophetic. And so I think that as we're trying to recover and go through this whole process, there are thoughts that come into our minds that if they're recorded and really made to be our guide, that there are just a few things that God tells us that we really need to treasure and remember and think back on. And that's kind of been a guiding principle of this whole journey for me, was that one little piece of information from God.
Thank you. All right, so what will you do to seek revelation from the Lord to guide you?
You know, I remember as we, in the beginning, struggled with our two boys in addiction. And, you know, I have tried in my life to learn answers to prayers and felt that, you know, at times I've been able to receive answers to prayers. And when we needed, or I felt we needed answers on what to do, I would pray or fast or both, read scriptures and prepare and seek the Lord in prayer and supplication. What I found, though, is that my prayers were, this could take their life. We need to help these boys. Please help them. Please. And I would plead, wanting Heavenly Father to help them, because this could take their life. I was fear-based to a great degree. And the answers wouldn't come, and that would frustrate me. Why? It was a worthy cause. It was a worthy prayer. I was trying to live right, and I'm not getting answers. But it's interesting. In what we just read, it said, while the Lord's responses come quickly at times, the Scriptures teach us that revelation is given line upon line as it is needed. Not the way I think it's needed, but our all-knowing Heavenly Father, as He sees it's needed. Now, as I look back, had He jumped too and jumped into the middle of it and caused a miracle or whatever, and they didn't go through the struggle and the consequences and the difficulties that made them drop to their knees and turn their will over, they would not have learned the power and the grace of the atonement that they now understand. And now I know. And it's my testimony that I just needed patience and understanding, and that I needed to submit my will to my Heavenly Father, that He is all-knowing, and it is line upon line, and that I must patiently wait, as it says in what we just read.
Thank you. Mary?
Well, one thing that I learned really quickly was that I never got anywhere with anger. And when everything kind of starts to fall apart, that's the first thing you think you need to do, is be angry as a mother, because you have to discipline and you're the mom and this is the way it's going to be. And I learned really quickly that all that anger did was give them more of a cause to rebel. And they would, it gave them an excuse, and they would get angry. They would get angry and I would get angry, and it never worked. And when I started to turn to the Lord, I think the thing that I felt the deepest conviction was that I absolutely had to deal with it with love, 100% love and kindness. And even though I was disappointed and scared, again, when we talked about it just a minute ago, where you let fear take over instead of faith, but you are fearful. But I felt that I had to seek that revelation from the Lord, and He had to guide me, because I know that contention and the Spirit can't coincide in the same room. So I learned really quickly that love and kindness, because isn't that the way the Savior taught? And that's how important it is when you're losing these precious children, that you have to turn to the Savior and do what He would do.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to the next section, which is partaking of the sacrament. I think we left off with Eric.
Partaking of the sacrament. The sacrament is a time for reflection. We partake of the sacrament in remembrance of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us and to renew our covenants. The sacrament can be a sacred time for us to reconcile and submit our will to God's and be spiritually strengthened. This may require us to suspend thinking about our loved one and focus on our own spiritual strength. While it is natural to turn our thoughts during the sacrament to our loved ones and how their challenges are impacting us, We need to take the time during the sacrament to strengthen our relationship with God and the Savior. We, in turn, are spiritually strengthened through the enabling power of the Savior, Jesus Christ. It is important to not let anything distract us from renewing our covenants with the Lord, not even the actions and choices of our loved ones.
Although we desire our loved ones to come unto Christ and be healed, this is something that they must do for themselves. Heavenly Father waits patiently for them to exercise faith in Christ and take the necessary steps toward recovery. We too must be patient and align our will to God's. The sacrament provides an opportunity to demonstrate that we are willing to submit to Heavenly Father while we endure in faith. Replacing our desires with trust in His will is one way that we take upon ourselves the name of Christ and always remember Him.
Thank you. How can we then use the ordinance to strengthen ourselves? Anybody have any ideas? The ordinance of the sacrament, excuse me, to strengthen ourselves. Eric.
I think through the experience of going through my own recovery and just the experience of my wife's, and, you know, it's any time I found that I'm going through a lot or turn to my Heavenly Father, that the atonement becomes more real and more significant in my life. And my testimony has increased. My love for the Savior has increased. And therefore, I mean, taking the sacrament has been more of a significant experience in my life that I have really enjoyed. And I wouldn't have had that experience without experiencing that suffering. It's kind of strange, but that suffering that Christ went through, the suffering that I am going through, somehow makes me appreciate more of the love that my Savior has for me all the more.
Thank you, Eric. I remember a bishop once, a bishop of our ward, gave an Easter talk about the sacrament. And prior to us partaking of the sacrament, he had us look over at how beautifully it was arranged and that the cloth was over it. And he compared that to perhaps how Christ may have looked in the tomb, having passed away and having been prepared and having those having clothing and cloths laid over him. It was very touching to me to literally think that, you know, that in a symbolic sort of way, that was an opportunity for me to enjoy and to understand the threefold mission of Christ through the atonement, and that was for us all to be resurrected. And he brought this out in his talk. And also that we are forgiven for our sins, but also that we have this incredible access to his enabling power, his grace that allows us to be and do more than we are able to for ourselves. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else have an idea of how the sacrament? Okay, Rick.
You know, for me, there's times I remember as we were struggling, we'd go to church, and of course our two boys weren't with us, and I think our family's falling apart. We don't have them here at church. There'd be anxiety, you know, what's going to happen to them? Boy, if they just could have heard this talk. And it's interesting here that it says, although we desire our loved ones to come into Christ and be healed, this is something that they must do for themselves. And for me, in reference to the sacrament, this was a time that I needed to be healed. This is the time I needed to have supplication with my Heavenly Father and renew my covenants and submit my will, which at times I was having a very hard time doing that. And it said here in what we just read, the sacrament provides an opportunity to demonstrate that we are willing to submit to Heavenly Father while we endure in faith. There was times when I had just taken the bread and I'm praying, and in that supplication, I would hear the Spirit say, I needed to do something for my boys, or I needed to forgive them for this, or I, in other words, there was some things that I needed to work on myself. It's not about during that time I need to be praying for the boys, for my loved one in addiction. What I found in my supplication is that it was a quiet voice saying, there's some things that I needed to work on, that I needed to change, and that I needed to repent of, and that would make our situation and the environment, our family, better. And so that was one thing that was special at the as we were taking the sacrament.
Bill, and then Christy.
I keep referring to the early period and comparing that from what has happened, but really early on in our experience with addiction in our family, there was so much anxiety going on that our prayers almost magnified that anxiety, because our thoughts were just going in a million directions, and we were in such anxious anxiety over their welfare and what could we be doing and how are we going to fix and what we're going to do and all that. And that came into the sacrament. And in one of our meetings, one of the missionaries shared her experience with prayer. And she said that her prayers were so unfocused because she was so in such turmoil that she couldn't really focus on what needed to be said in a prayer. And so she began the effort of actually writing her prayers, because it forced her to focus on what she really needed to ask in a simple, straightforward way to her Heavenly Father. And she said it helped her to gather her thoughts. Well, my wife heard that, and she said, you know, I need to do that during the sacrament. I need to focus my thoughts on what I really, really need to have happening during the sacrament. And by that time, we were strong enough in our recovery where we recognized that it was really about us. And so she started really writing just intently during the sacrament. And I resisted that for a little while and, you know, just tried to get my mind wrapped around it. But more lately, I've been writing too, and it really focuses me on what enabling I need that week in order to get myself in the place where I can be happy, where I can be the kind of father that I need to be with my children, and the kind of husband that I need to be that is in a good healthy place that will encourage healing throughout my family instead of this, you know, grieving, you know, basket case that I was early on in this whole process. And it is really over time the sacrament has really meant more to us, both of us, as we have participated in the healing.
That's wonderful. Christy.
Okay. My heart is beating really hard right now. I remember during the sacrament for months and months, just tears just gushing, just being so grateful for the Savior and for the examples that we have in the scriptures of, like, Alma, who was the vilest of sinners, and yet the Lord helped him have that change of heart. And through the atonement, you know, his sins were made, like, the scripture that says, though your sins may be scarlet, they could be white as snow. And it just gave me so much hope to sit there in the sacrament and realize what our Savior has done for all of us and for my sons, that they have the opportunity of having their sins taken away someday and having the Lord work with them and have them get that change of heart. And also the hope that as you think about the sacrament and the Savior living again, you know, living again, I think I had so much fear of what if, you know, and the unthinkable. What if they die or whatever? But just being reminded every week that we have the atonement, that when they're ready, they can have that change of heart, that they that that we have the promise of the resurrection, that living again, and then just the incredible, the grace of our Lord, the mercy, and just the beautiful promise in the sacrament prayer that, you know, as we're mindful, we keep the commandments, we'll always have His Spirit to be with us, because I just felt like I needed that Spirit with me constantly on a daily basis. So the sacrament was a huge source of strength for me. And I love the sacrament. I'm grateful we have that opportunity every single week. I think the Lord, I think Heavenly Father was so wise to give us that gift of the sacrament, because Satan gets us to forget, you know, all those things that strengthen us the most. Mm-hmm. And the sacrament is a huge blessing in my life.
Thank you, everyone. Just appreciate your thoughts so much. Let's move on to our next topic. I think we were we're Mary. Yeah. Okay, Mary, would you begin, please?
Attending the temple. We may struggle in going to the temple because a loved one is not able to be with us. However, the weakness and addictions of a loved one do not affect the right of a spouse or family member to attend the temple, nor should they affect our sense of worthiness to attend. Temple worship and service can provide us with the strength and blessings we need to press forward and keep an eternal perspective. President Boyd K. Packer said, "Temples are the very center of the spiritual strength of the church. We should expect that the adversary will try to interfere with us as a church and with us individually as we seek to participate in this sacred and inspired work. We can draw close to the Lord in His house and receive His strength to move forward with faith and hope."
Thank you, Mary. Rick?
President Packer continues, "When members of the church are troubled or when crucial decisions weigh heavily upon their minds, it is a common thing for them to go to the temple. It is a good place to take our cares. In the temple, we can receive spiritual perspective. Sometimes our minds are so beset with problems, and there are so many things clamoring for attention at once that we just cannot think clearly and see clearly. At the temple, the dust of distraction seems to settle out. The fog and the haze seem to lift. And we can see things that we were not able to see before and find a way through our troubles that we had not previously known."
Thank you. So how has temple worship blessed you, and how can attending the temple strengthen you in your current challenges? Eric.
I love the temple. I remember when I first discovered the severity of my wife's addiction, I felt this blanket, this like peace of comfort come around me, almost as real as you and I sitting together. It was really special. But I knew that was the Spirit. And at the time, I was not worthy to go to the temple, but I wanted to be. I knew I needed the guidance in order to help my family and help my wife, to have those blessings in my family. So I went through the process, and within a while was able to get my recommend and go to the temple. A day before we had visits at the rehab where my wife was staying, I was able to attend the temple. And I went with a lot of questions and struggles on my mind. I really felt alone in this whole situation. Like, I'm the one that's going through this. How do I help my kids? How do I help my wife? How do I take care of finances? You know, just everything that addiction throws into absolute turmoil. And I went to the session, and on the way out, I had this profound feeling that said distinctly, "You are not alone. In fact, your wife struggles with many of the same questions." And it hit me. I thought, oh, my wife is struggling with addiction. How could she even care? But those questions did affect her, and she did handle it in a destructive kind of way, but she was getting on her way back, and I was getting on my way back. And it gave me hope that we're not alone, that whether we have a spouse that works with us in getting through addiction or whether it is just our Heavenly Father that blesses us with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost when we feel really alone, that we are loved, that we are the children of a loving Heavenly Father, and how blessed we are to be able to enter the house of the Lord and receive those profound revelations.
Thank you. Mary.
Well, where it says, how has the temple worship blessed you? Early on, I had a friend tell me, she said, you know, why don't you and I try to go to the temple every Friday? And that was kind of a new revelation to me to go weekly at that point in my life. I was a busy mom and lots of young kids. And so we made time every Friday morning to go to the temple, which we did. And that started my journey to realize how important that temple worship was for me. And I remember I've had two really profound, great experiences. I mean, I've had several, but two that I can really put my finger on in the temple. And one in particular was just the feeling of peace I had one day when the Lord said to me, this is going to be a long haul for you. You need to just be patient because it's all going to work out. And I just remember having that feeling as I left. I thought, okay, I'm up for that challenge. And he was right. And there were a few challenges that came and went that I needed that patience for. So I really understood the fact that the Lord really speaks to you through your thoughts and feelings as you go through those sessions. So I am really grateful. I've had a couple other experiences where I just have that conviction that I know what needs to be done. And I need to be patient, and I need to understand that the Lord is in control.
Thank you. Any other temple experiences? Christy?
I do. Just in the beginning, I know when addiction first came into our family, I think initially I felt, I kept asking myself, what did I do wrong? You know, and I felt kind of bad about myself. And going to the temple, you can't walk in there and not just feel so much love and peace from Heavenly Father. And also, I found that it was having addiction in the home kind of brought out the worst in me and in my husband, I think, too. And so our relationship, you know, we were, I think, struggling a lot with our marriage. And yet, as we would go to the temple, you know, our hearts, we would just, those hearts would be softened and we would be more as one, as a married couple. And I think that was so important at that time, because we were, just struggling to kind of make sense of the chaos. So the temple was crucial. It was really crucial for me.
Thank you. Bill.
The temple has helped me to get perspective on this addiction business, too, in the sense that, you know, years ago, I'd go to the temple to try and receive revelation relative to my family. And, you know, if I were giving special blessings or something, I'd go to the temple and search for what God wanted me to say or what he wanted me to do, how he wanted me to lead my family. And that's kind of the way I'd always thought about the temple. You know, you go to get revelation. But since this addiction has come into our family, I have started focusing instead, or in addition to that, I've started focusing on God's reaction to his children and how he patiently deals with Adam and Eve and how he deals with all of us as we make mistakes. And as he, you know, what is, how, you know, it's like Elder Holland says, he has to deal with weak people, and he's used to it. I mean,
That's right.
You know, people who
said it must be terribly difficult for you.
Yeah, it must
be. But he deals with it.
Yeah. And that is kind of the perspective that I've come to see in God, that he understands what I'm going through, and he is setting me the example that I need to follow so that I can appropriately deal with this patience issue.
Thank you. Why is it that patience is always an issue? All right. Maybe that takes us into our next reading. Where did we leave off? Christy.
Seeking the companionship of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger. Through him, we can receive gifts of the Spirit for our benefit and for the benefit of those we love and serve. He truly is the comforter. As the soothing voice of a loving parent can quiet a crying child, the whisperings of the Spirit can calm our fears, hush the nagging worries of our life, and comfort us when we grieve. The Holy Ghost can fill us with hope and perfect love, and can teach the peaceable things of the kingdom.
Discerning the whisperings of the Spirit may be challenging, especially during the emotionally charged situations we sometimes face with our loved ones. At times, we may question whether the impressions we receive are our own feelings or the promptings of the Spirit. Elder David A. Bednar taught, "If you and I have a sincere desire for the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, invite his influence into our lives through our obedience and actions, and learn to heed simple promptings, and to do so quickly, then I testify and promise that we will be able to tell the difference between our own emotions telling us what we want to hear and the Holy Ghost telling us what we need to hear. The Holy Ghost provides us with peace and direction as we seek guidance and press forward in faith."
That's a great quote. So how has the Holy Ghost comforted you in affliction? Mary. Have to let that one process for a while, huh?
Well, as far as the Holy Ghost comforting me in afflictions, I think as I'm still in the throes of it, as I have a conversation with one of my sons, and he is telling me that he doesn't even really believe that there really is a God, it's really important for me to hold on to that feeling of peace and understanding that my Savior gives me through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, knowing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God and that there is a Savior, and that I know that deep down inside somewhere, He knows that. And the Holy Ghost has given me comfort just the past week, letting me know He knows that. He's trying really hard to be hard-hearted and trying to be rebellious, and not any way to be mean towards me, but just because of his confusion that he feels right now in this world. And so the Holy Ghost has really comforted me just in the past little while and letting me know that it's going to be okay, that that deep down inside he has the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost right now is just waiting patiently for him to get tired of trying to do it by himself. So I really am grateful for that comforting feeling that I gain and I get when I go through these situations as I have these conversations with both my boys.
Thank you. Mary, anybody else? Bill?
You know, I like what Elder Bednar said. You know, what we want to hear and the Holy Ghost telling us what we need to hear. That transformation had to be pretty dramatic in my case, and I think that it was for a really important purpose, because I had a pretty good idea of what my family ought to be like, you know, and how they should behave, and I mean, I was pretty, you know, pretty assured of how this was all going to come down, and so much had to change in me as I went through this process. And I don't think that the Holy Ghost could have could have been whispering during that time. I mean, he got me to the meetings. He spoke to me clearly enough to take me to those places where my brothers and sisters who were going through the same thing that I was going through could share their stories, and then I could have those aha moments that I needed to have so that I was getting what I needed instead of what I thought I wanted. And that had to be a pretty dramatic thing for me. I mean, we had to hear from people who were suffering the same things that we were suffering. And in order to get it through our thick heads, that we needed to make some serious changes in the way we were behaving relative to our children. And we needed to stop the grief and the anger and all those emotions and take a really close look at who we really were. Take that fearless moral inventory of ourselves and say to ourselves, we have got to change us. And by so doing, the Holy Ghost was then able to then speak to us again. But it really had to come through something pretty, you know, pretty dramatic to make that happen.
That's interesting. I love that if we will just have an open heart to receive a prompting, you know, what we think perhaps might be a prompting, and then Elder Bednar says, act on it quickly. Then, you know, then we'll be given even the guidance to know that that's a prompting from the Holy Ghost, or that's just some wishful thinking on our own part or whatever. If it's a good thing, you know, act on it quickly. I just love that. Any other thoughts about that? How about how have you learned to recognize the promptings of the Holy Ghost? Eric, you have an idea?
As a self-confessed raging codependent, I really struggled with my own desires and those of the Spirit. You know, I would come up with great ideas, and every time I implemented them, the results were catastrophic. They were horrible. But that's where the Holy Ghost came in. I started listening to the Book of Mormon on my iPod on the way to work. And luckily, one of the chapters that I read was Moroni chapter 7, where Moroni tells of his father's explanation of what charity was, about how the qualities of Christ are long-suffering, love, patience. All of a sudden, I had a filter between me and the things that were coming from the Holy Ghost. And what a blessing that has been in my life. And it's so helpful just to reflect on those. But it's provided me so much help to prevent me from myself and let the Holy Ghost really, truly work.
That's a wonderful comment. What promptings have you received then from the Holy Ghost, and how will you act on them in the future? Mary?
Well, I know that earlier in the meeting, someone referred to Alma and Alma the Younger. And I remember as I was reading the Book of Mormon and trying to get some answers, I really had this thought and feeling as I read in First Nephi. And I think that when I read the very first line of the Book of Mormon, it really spoke to me. I mean, we have read it over and over a million times, all of us in this church, where I, Nephi, being born of goodly parents. And I realized at one point that there was a reason why Nephi put that very first. He started out telling us about his father, about how what a prophet he was, and then he went on to tell us about his two brothers. And he really let us know at the very beginning, I have these amazing parents. And I remember just reading it and then going back and reading it again and thinking, wait a minute. I really believe that Nephi's really telling us something here. And I've come to realize that Lehi was just as much a prophet as Alma. And Lehi's boys didn't ever come back. And so, but in this life, And so as I started to receive those promptings from the Holy Ghost as I was reading the scriptures and gaining new light in things that I had read a million times that meant something completely different to me now, which gave me so much peace. I was just so very grateful for that.
Thank you, Mary. Any other thoughts? Bill?
Well, we were asked what promptings have we received and how are we acting on them. The one, well, there are a couple of things that I have really learned from this program, and that is that to say I am sorry is like saying I love you. And it has always been kind of challenging for me to apologize for things. But when I got into this program and saw the miracle that takes place with an apology and how it softens hearts and how it works on my emotions and the emotions of those in my family, it made me want to find ways to apologize more often, because apology is such a wonderful way of saying I love you. And the other thing that has really sunk into me, that has just really changed in me, is that I've been prompted to do is to stop, drop, and pray. you know,
that's
I
great.
Mean, whenever an emotion that is a negative emotion comes over me, an emotion of fear, an emotion of anxiety, an emotion of resentment, an emotion of anger, or any of those things that I identified as my character weaknesses, I immediately try to stop, drop, and pray. And even in my mind, if it's in a meeting at work or wherever, I try to pray that away. And that is, those two little habits have been so valuable in my life, because it's helped me to stay in that space of greater peace.
I love these questions about the Holy Ghost, because I don't think I could have got through, the days and months of addiction without the Holy Ghost and his comfort. I think it was really important for me to learn the difference between the promptings of the Holy Ghost through pondering and meditation and the obsessing that would come, I think, from Satan a lot of times. And I noticed that if I was receiving promptings of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, it was gentle. It was more slow. And when I was obsessing about something, it was fast. You know, I felt like I have to fix this now. And I was very critical. And I'm just like, okay, we need to call so-and-so, and we need to check up on this and check up on that. And it was just not of the Holy Ghost. And when I remember somebody said that in a meeting, that they learned to watch. And if it was really fast, if it was like I have to do something really fast and do it right now, that was not from the Holy Ghost. And the promptings, recognizing promptings from the Holy Ghost for me, when I'm quiet in scripture study is a huge form of meditation for me, because I think I'm quiet. And I think finally Heavenly Father thinks, oh, wow, she's finally quiet enough I can maybe answer her prayers, you know. But I found just through journaling, you know, through writing my thoughts and feelings down, through studying the words of God and of Christ. I love the scripture that says the words of Christ will teach us all things what we should do. I feel that revelation so readily, and the promptings of the Holy Ghost through meditation and those quiet times. And I'm so thankful for that.
Thank you. Any other comments, thoughts, feelings to express? Well, thank you, everyone. I've loved our discussion.
I'm going to remember stop, drop, and pray.
Yeah, forever. So great.
We will now begin the sharing portion of the meeting. You are invited to share your personal experiences of applying gospel principles in your life. Please focus your sharing on the solution rather than the problem. Refrain from mentioning graphic details about the practice of your loved one's addiction. Also, it is perfectly acceptable to pass if you prefer to listen only. Confidentiality and anonymity foster honesty and make this a safe place to share.
In keeping with the principle of anonymity, we invite you to introduce yourself by your first name only. We will conclude the sharing portion 5 minutes before the end of the meeting. The time is now yours to share your experience, faith, and hope. We invite you to share for 3 to 5 minutes, and I'll give you a signal if you've used your full time for sharing. Who would like to begin our sharing? Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Hi, I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And I love this, where it's draw near unto me. It can't say it any better than this. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That scripture brings me so much peace. And as we've talked about the Holy Ghost tonight, I think the most important thing that I am feeling tonight is the relationship that I have with both my boys, even though neither one of them have come back to the gospel yet, and they're both really still struggling in their addictions. We have a relationship that I would never give up in a million years. They know I love them, both of them. And I remember one point, one of my sons had relapsed, and we were face to face, and I walked in and saw him, and he looked at me, and I said, "Oh, I'm so," and I got that far, and he goes, "What, disappointed?" And then I looked at him and I said, "No, I'm so sorry." And at that point, I could see his whole demeanor change, where he realized I was on his side. I was not there to judge him or be mad at him. I realized that he had relapsed and that he was struggling himself, angry with himself. And when he saw that I was sorry, what a difference it made. And we were able to talk. And the next day after he was sober and everything was fine, I was taking him to work and we were talking in the car. And I just brought it up and I said, I am really sorry. And I could see him kind of start to tense up. And the Spirit said to me so plainly, the Spirit will always be in the room when you bear your testimony. And so I just bore a very plain and simple testimony to him, letting him know how I felt about the gospel. The Spirit was there. He got out of the car and went into work. And that was the end at that point, as far as what had happened the night before. But I realized how important it was for me to rely on the Holy Ghost and listen instead of throwing daggers or being angry or saying, "Now, what can we do to fix this?" He just knew I was sorry. So this draw near unto me is so important as family members and parents and siblings to know that the Lord will kind of wrap us in the robes of righteousness as we deal with each little incident that comes up. And I am so thankful to have this program to turn to every time we go through and, you know, a different situation in our family. But I am so thankful for that. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Hi, I'm Rick.
Hi, Rick.
This principle, draw near unto me, when a family has addiction and there is shrapnel and chaos and feelings and anger, there really needs to be the ability to draw near to our Heavenly Father and to receive answers. And if there's anything that I've learned through this process, I've learned that answers come a lot of times two ways, and usually and a lot of times at the same time. One, through our feelings, and the other is through other people. And I remember when one of our sons was in a rehab, and weekly, they would have family group where the parents or the loved ones would go and learn. And I remember going there saying, "Okay, now it's time for us to learn how to fix these boys." And I remember the Spirit, the feeling that I had, and it came through another person, and that was the instructor. And they talked about the core center of all addiction is shame, and that an addict will numb out through their drug of choice, and that shame is the driver, and emotional bleeding is caused through this. And that as family members, we can contribute to that shame. And the Spirit whispered to me, I needed to listen because there was things that were happening where I was contributing to this addiction. And then she went through, the instructor did a few things, how we act, how we can accuse, we can drive shame in an indirect way. An example I remember her saying is that when a meeting's coming up that, quote unquote, our addict should be going to, if we say, hey, you got your meeting come up, you're going, right? You need it. That drives shame. They come home. Look, what did you learn? I hope you learned something this time. That drives shame. Hey, you said you were going to do this. There's a lot of things because of our fear and our trepidation that we can drive shame, which makes an addict, after we get done talking with them, just want to go out and use. And really, it's a very opposite thing that we want, but we think we're helping. And so that was an example to me that our prayers a lot of times are answered through other people. And as people are talking, the feelings and the impressions will be, you need to listen. This is for you. And that's not what I went to that class to hear, but boy, luckily and happily and gratefully heard that loud and clear, and that changed me. You know, it's my testimony that, you know, as we, in this difficult time of addiction in our family, if we can strive to turn our will over, the Holy Ghost can provide us with peace and direction as we seek guidance to press forward with faith. And it's my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick. Hi, I'm Eric.
Hi, Eric.
This week I had a beautiful experience. I have been struggling with some past resentments, trying to work those things out and going to my Heavenly Father in prayer, and the answers haven't been coming. I had a chance to talk with a friend over the weekend and just have a heartfelt discussion. And one of the things that came up were these resentments, these things I'm really having a hard time letting go of. And he asked me if I had read about a certain book. I says, yeah. And remember those parts that it talked about the atonement and it talked about the Savior and specifically about forgiving other people? And all of a sudden, some of the answers just started to rush in. And really what I was missing, and I've received this answer several times before, is just that Heavenly Father knows that I need this consistently brought up in my mind, is that of empathy and having empathy for others. I feel my own point of view is the reason why our Savior was able to suffer through everything in the Garden of Gethsemane is because he truly had empathy for everybody that he suffered for through, and how that probably made it possibly tolerable, and how I need to be patient, not only with myself, but with others. And that was just a constant reminder. And I'm thankful for my Father in Heaven, for the Spirit that orchestrates these tender mercies that happen in our lives to keep us going, that promote that hope, which makes me just want to keep on pushing. I love my Savior. I'm thankful for all that he has done for me. And say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Eric.
I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill.
A lot of the addiction in our family has come along with a lot of loss of faith in God and loss of faith in his church, loss of faith in his prophets, loss of faith in the atonement, loss of faith in the Savior. And, you know, what Rick said about shaming and about all of that was, you know, we've had to look at that in ourselves. But through it all, the Holy Ghost has walked with my wife and I through this recovery process by giving us countless evidences of miracles. I mean, we started seeing them in the very first meetings that we attended across the room. We saw addicts who were true walking miracles, who had changed so dramatically their lives and their thinking and everything about them. And we said to ourselves, I want that. I want that for myself. I want that, you know, I want that certainly for my children. And so there was just evidences everywhere that God is real. And as we've worked through this, the process of recovery, we've seen dramatic changes in ourselves and in our thinking and in our perspective relative to our children. And that has also been evidence that, you know, that we are learning stuff that we had never before supposed. And it was also a reassurance that that same process could be happening with our children, you know, and we wouldn't even necessarily even be aware of it. But they are certainly as capable as we are of having dramatic changes in their way of thinking, which is very hopeful and helps us to be able to think positively about them. They are intelligent. They are, you know, they are certainly aware. They're good. They can work puzzles as well as we can, and they will be able to come to themselves if the right things happen, and we have every reason to believe that they will. I have one son who has a lot of real challenges with going to church. To him, it builds anxiety for him to go to church, because in church was where he was. I mean, he shamed himself, really. But he was also shamed. There was a lot of shoulds and oughts and things like that going on as he was being raised, both in our family and at church. And so going to church for him is anxiety. But by going through this process, we have been able to bring church into our home and to provide a safe, unshaming atmosphere for him. And so we're able to say things to him that I think calm that anxiety, and that paved the way for him one day to be able to return to the church and to the Savior and to those foundational things that I think he still believes in. He wants to believe in, and he'd like to be able to overcome the anxiety, and I think one day he will. And seeing those miracles in others and those miracles in ourselves gives us faith that the atonement and the enabling power of the Savior is very real. And there is no doubt in my mind that God does work miracles, and he will work miracles in the lives of my children one day who now do not believe and have rejected the Savior and have broken their covenants. I don't believe anymore that that is the end of the story. I believe that they can, just like I have, change fundamentally, and that God patiently and working through me and other people we'll find a way to retake those cities that have been lost and through whatever means he has, be able to recover that which was lost. I found great hope in Elder Ballard's testimony in this last conference, where he said, we will continue to search. We will continue to search for those who have been lost until we can bring them back and recover them. And I have ultimate faith in that possibility, because I've seen it happen in so many lives as I've worked through this program. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you, Bill.
Hi, I'm Christy.
Hi, Christy.
I love this lesson, Draw Near to Me, because there's one good thing about addiction in a family. We definitely get humbled to the core. And I am so grateful, because, you know, I I don't know that I ever really had a trial in my life as important as trying to save my family from addiction. And it really did force me to draw near to my Heavenly Father. And I've just been pondering a little bit about some inspiration I received from the Holy Ghost once. I was the mom, and it was my job to fix my boys. And I found that I was trying to, I just thought if I'm a really good girl, and if I do everything right, and if I go to the temple and I read my scriptures, I say my prayers and I paint all of this list, then God will tell me how to fix them. And I remember one day, probably found a conference article or something. I was preaching to my oldest son. I was in a habit of that on a regular basis. And he said to me, "Mom, stop the preaching. Can't you see you're just pushing me away?" And the Holy Ghost just gripped me right there as gently as the Holy Ghost can and said, "He's right." And I just remember just stopping cold and just thinking. And I said, "You know what? I feel you're right. I am so sorry. And I promise I will not preach at you anymore until you want me to, And that particular boy today has found his way back, he's on his second marriage, but he is now sealed in the temple. And he's got a beautiful little boy, and his wife's due to have a baby at Christmas time. And he loves to talk about the gospel. He's a facilitator in the in the 12-step program, and he is doing great. But there was a time when I was not to do that anymore. The Spirit let me know, no more of that preaching, and I think it was shaming to him. I think it sent him the message that, you're not smart enough, or you're not worthy enough, or you're not, good enough, or whatever. So I was grateful that the Holy Ghost helped me to see that and have my eyes open to that fact. And I'm also thankful for the prompting to just stop judging and stop, being so critical and just love them. Just love them and kind of step aside and let the Lord work with them. I was so in the way, and I just felt the Spirit just gently trying to say, just trust me. Just kind of I've got this, let me do this. And that was so important for me to understand that, because I felt like when I could actually step back, let go and let God is what they say, I really struggled with trusting God. But as I was able to let, step back, the miracles started to happen, and I really could start to see the tender mercies, and it just became such a powerful force in our family. And I just felt like I didn't have to be so responsible anymore, and I could just love them. So I was so grateful to learn that. And the Holy Ghost has always been so great. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you so much. I just love to come to these meetings and to hear your honesty and your insight and your testimonies. I mean, it's amazing to me how everyone hits on kind of a different aspect of what we all need to hear and what helps us. Sister Marsh, do you have something you'd like to share with us?
I do. Thank you so much. I am inspired and motivated to be a better person as a result of having been here. I really do appreciate all your shares. By the way, I'm Sister Marsh.
Hi, Sister Marsh.
A pinnacle point in my life was when I was 19 and I had a crisis of faith. And I don't know, I was a pretty shallow kid. A teenager, and I don't know what it was that made me have this moment of integrity, but didn't have a need for too much integrity, in 19, years. But at that, when I was 19, I had a moment of integrity, and what it revolved around, excuse me, I was a volunteer at the Hill Cumorah pageant. And a sister volunteer. And back in the day, what we would do is, so we participated in the pageant itself, but we also would proselyte to those who came to the pageant to see it. And that was back in the flip chart day. And my companion was speaking of the first vision to some people, and I was the flip chart holder. And there was Joseph Smith receiving the revelation from God the Father and Jesus Christ. It occurred to me that I didn't know whether that was true or not. And I could see the smirks on the faces of the people, and I thought, oh, no, I'm not sure I can testify with this with integrity. And kind of, as I look back on it, it just kind of fascinates me. But I felt for sure that I had been brought there for the Lord to reveal himself to me, because that is, in fact, what happened. I became very ill. I actually said to my companion, you know, I can't say that this is true. I don't know that it is. And, you know, I'm going to either find out or I'm going to walk and disappoint generations of my family. But, you know, I just had this moment of, you know, clarity, but I was also heartbroken and worried and scared. I used the rest of the week at the pageant to study, though. And thankfully, I had classic conversion things happened to me. I began to read the Book of Mormon. Light bulbs started clicking. I, you know, just had read A Marvelous Work and a Wonder. And but at the time, I became very, very ill. And I had the good sense to ask for a blessing of health. So I had that much faith, at least. And it's my testimony that during that blessing, the Lord revealed himself to me. And I've pondered upon that a lot. Without question, when Joseph Smith says, I knew it, and I knew God knew it, that's how I feel, what happened to me. And as Joseph Smith says, I could not deny it. And the blessing that came to me was one of health, but also of direction in my life, and had a lot of questions and concerns in my life at the time. And this wonderful elder didn't even know me. I mean, he couldn't have possibly known the things that were revealed to me. But since then, I love what it said in our reading, that we develop our spiritual selves by practice. And I feel that that's what's happened to me. And, you know, when I read that the Holy Ghost impresses upon our feelings as a young person, I thought, feelings? I don't even trust my feelings. I'm you know, hormonal a lot of the time. I'm up and down. How can I trust my feelings? But what has happened is, as I've experimented with the Word, is that when I am impressed by the Holy Ghost, something changes. I know it in a very unique way, and I remember it. It makes an impression which I don't forget. And so that has been a wonderful blessing in my life. The Holy Ghost has been my constant companion and my dearest friend, from the ridiculous to the sublime. He's helped me find keys. He's helped me find wallets. And he has comforted me when two of my sons, as they were babies, had very serious seizure disorders. And I wasn't sure I could handle it, but I was told that it would be a process, and that I, in fact, I could, and I tried to trust that as best as I could and not despair. I feel that if anything the Holy Ghost has taught me, that it's this principle: if it's important to me, it's important to my Heavenly Father. And that has been such a blessing in my life. And just recently I read this, that hope is the feeling that events will work out for the best. And I thought that was a great kind of concise definition of the word hope. And I just appreciate President Hinckley, because I remember him at age 93 saying, it'll all work out. And I feel that that is something we can take to the bank. That is something that we can rely upon. And I know he lives. I know our Father lives. I know Jesus lives. I know the Holy Ghost is our best friend, that he comes to us through. He comes and dwells within us by invitation. And that he can be our best friends in all our adversities. And I express that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sister Marsh.
Thank you.
I'm Sister Oswald. I like
Sister
it.
Sister Oswald.
I like it when I have the final word.
Yeah, no, as, I do too.
We'll trade. That's yeah. Great. As I was driving here tonight, I left later than I had hoped to leave. I like to always be a little bit early so I can have time to prepare myself mentally and just calm down from the day. So I'm frantically driving into Salt Lake, hitting traffic. All the lights are red, finding myself getting very frustrated and frantic. And then I stopped myself and I thought, why is it I always do this? It doesn't help me get to where I'm going any quicker. It just makes me more uptight and puts me in probably the wrong frame of mind. And I was thinking about that in relationship to drawing nearer unto God, and that many times through life's events, through the afflictions we face, through family members who don't do what we want or life doesn't go the way we had planned, that we get frantic and we get frustrated. And we try to push and we try to inflict our will and we lecture and we do all and we shame and we do all those things we've talked about tonight. And I thought, how ridiculous is that? Because we know it doesn't work. It doesn't help us get anywhere quicker. And what stood out to me in this principle tonight was a temple attendance. I have found a lot of peace when I've gone to the temple. And you know, in the temple, you don't hurry anything. And depending on what country or what temple you go to, sometimes it's even slower than it is here. But we've had a lot of affliction this year, and my husband and I were attending the temple with a prayer in our hearts to find out what God wanted us to do and how he wanted us to handle a situation. And all through the temple, I think we were doing initiatory that day, but I found myself on that frantic, hurry, hurry, why are you taking so long? Little old ladies sometimes talk very slow, and I found myself getting very impatient. And by the time the initiatory was done, it clicked. I realized that's what God wanted me to learn, that I needed to be patient, and I wasn't showing patience. And we got out to the car, and my husband said, you know, it was so slow today. It took forever. He said, I think God wants me to learn patience. I thought, yep, I think that was definitely a message that came very loud and clear. And so we worked on that for a few weeks and then got back into that frantic pathway again. Went to the temple once more, and this time we learned that we needed to be patient cheerfully. I'm still working on being patient, but I know the temple is the place I go to help me to find that peace, because it helps me just to tune out everything and focus on what our Heavenly Father has in store for us and our Heavenly Father's teachings. And I really liked this quote by Elder Scott in the readings tonight that said, when we keep temple covenants we have made, and when we live righteously in order to maintain the blessings promised by those ordinances, then, come what may, we have no reason to worry or to feel despondent. And I am grateful for that statement. I am grateful for the influence of the temple in my life, and especially for this program that has so many reminders of what we need to do to draw closer to our Heavenly Father and ways to truly help ourselves. So that we can let his light shine through us to our family members who are struggling, and that we become better people through all that we go through. And I'm grateful for each of you and for the testimonies that you have shared, for your willingness to express deep feelings and to honestly share what you have gone through. I think it helps all of us, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please remember that what has been shared here is confidential, and the opinions expressed here are those of the individual who expressed them and do not necessarily represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Please review the gospel study and personal learning and application sections of the principles between meetings to build on what you've heard and experienced in this meeting. Finally, we thank each of you for your participation. Could I get a volunteer for our closing prayer? Christy, thank you.
Our dearest Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity we've had to gather this day and talk about principles that will help to heal our families and heal sacred relationships. We are grateful, Father, for the principle of prayer, and that we can draw near unto Thee, and that we can ask Thee and we can receive answers to our prayers and guidance through the Holy Spirit. We're grateful for the ordinance of the sacrament and for the opportunity to attend the temple. Father, we're so grateful to have an understanding of our Savior Jesus Christ, for his teachings and for his atonement, and the power that atonement gives us to heal from our weaknesses. And we are grateful, Father, for the example of thy Son and for the words, thy words and the words of the Savior in the Scriptures. We're grateful again for all our blessings. We pray for our family members and for ourselves that we can be open to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, that we can show great love and be open and willing to receive revelation from thee. And we, again, are so thankful for our prophets and apostles in these days. I'm thankful for the principles taught in this addiction recovery program. And we see these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to an actual LDS addiction recovery program spouse and family support meeting. For more information or to attend meetings near you, visit arp.lds.org or contact your local priesthood leader. To download a podcast of any episode of the Addiction Recovery Program, visit mormonchannel.org or arp.lds.org.